AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Welcome everyone to the Sunday Roast. We are back again with two tremendous guests and a wonderful co-host. Darren, can you please introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Darren and I run the YouTube channel Daily Blase, where I usually hunt around for interesting material within the House of Commons or select committees. Yeah. If it's anything that makes a Tory look a bit of an idiot, I'm all over it like car bonnet, I suppose.
And Matt, please introduce yourself.
I run a YouTube channel called The Interesting Times, where every so often, weekly, let's be honest, I have a look at the week's news and just sort of try and make a bit of fun of it, shall we say. It's a comedy channel. I didn't mention that last time, did I? But there we go. We do look at politics.
There's a lot of comedy to be had. My wonderful co-host.
Hi, I'm Big Match Studios. I run my own YouTube channel called Big Match Studios. And I help run this podcast along with Alex.
Hi, I'm Alex. I'm an author, journalist, historian, and apparently a political scientist. And today we are going to be talking about the week's news. Chagos Islands, I thought we'd start off with.
I've been scratching my head a bit about this. And when people talk about the Chagos Islands, they seem to fall into two camps. People that know what they're talking about, and people like Nigel Farage, Donald Trump, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the Tories. Oh, the Tories are absolutely all over this. Anyway, the Chagos Islands, basically, as you probably are well aware, there's been an agreement where they're going to take back Diego Garcia, which is the largest of the Chagos Islands. Are we familiar where they are and what they do and things like that? They're basically a refueling airfield for the American air base, have been for about the last 50, 60 years, ever since the Chagosians were kicked out, as it were. And ever since then, and that was pretty brutal as well. I didn't know this till the other day. I was doing some background work on it, and rather darkly, that not only did they the British kick off about 1,500 to 2,000 Chagosians from all the islands, they killed all their pets. Yeah,
what?
They gassed their cats and dogs because they were like, you can't take them with you because of quarantine and stuff. So it's just like, boom, killed a lot of them. And it was that brutal. Shoved them on a boat, on a plane, and they were sent to Mauritius, Seychelles, and the UK. Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously that's 50, 60 years ago, but even so, it's not a cool thing to do. From about 2020, there's been a lot of heat on the British government, from Mauritius in particular, to turn around and say, look, you actually, you know, these are our islands, as it were. We only seceded them to the British because of, to gain our independence. United Nations then take it to the, international courts, and they turn around and say, yeah, you've got to give the islands back. So over to the Tories. And the Tories themselves have faffed about with it, whatever you want to call it, and done nothing with it, basically. Dragged it out. Labour come in, and within 4 months, in fact, June, July, August, September, October, 4 months, they've managed to get an agreement, which means keeping Diego Garcia airfield, which is obviously the important bit. That's what everybody was really concerned about. And allowing the Chagosians to go back to their islands that aren't Diego Garcia. They can't go back to Diego Garcia. That's a military base there. But all the other islands they can go back to. So you think, yay, great. But then the Tories go, oh, it's a surrender. It's a surrender. You're surrendering the islands, et cetera, et cetera. Well, there were never our islands. We took them. You know what I mean? All right, there wasn't anybody there at the time, but we took them and we bought slaves there, et cetera. You know, so it's right that these people should finally have a place to call home, as it were. Now, Nigel Farage is kicking off about this and saying, oh, yes, it's a 99-year lease, but, you know, we had that with Hong Kong, and look what happened with that. And you're like, but Hong Kong wasn't an American military base. We're not going to give that over to the Chinese. And he's turned around and threatened Trump. Well, he's he's turned around and said to Trump, I guess, not to sign the deal or something. So yeah, that's kind of where we are. So they're trying to push this thing through. I think they always spotted that if Trump gets in, he might pull something like this. So at the time, Biden was really pushing the Labour government to try to get a deal through. Also at the time, shortly before the Americans had their elections, the Mauritius had their an actual election as well. So it's a different party that come in that have signed the agreement, but the agreement is in place. So it's a good agreement. It really is. And I should just one final piece. There's a chap called Jonathan Powell, who worked for a load of quite a long time under Tony Blair's government, and it was him that masterminded the Good Friday Agreement. Well, he's the chap that's been behind the whole sort of agreement here, as it were. So, you know, he's top bloke. It's a good agreement. Let's back it. Away we go. But we'll see. We'll see where we go to with Trump and Farage always trying to wreck everything. That's all they ever seem to want to do.
Shock. It wouldn't surprise me if Farage would be in Trump's ear about it, being like, look at this, can't have that happening. No. And I'll only say this, it was interesting as well seeing Farage in Parliament talking about this and saying it was an advisory referendum, so it wasn't binding. And you're like, complaining about, it's just a grifter. It's just a grifter. Imagine I could see you rolling your eyes there.
Yeah, no, just a classic mug of two referendums, and you could have the second one after negotiation. That's what it just reminds me of. But just looking at on Google, it looks like the UK is trying to placate the Americans over it. The UK is trying to hide the costs over the lease, I think, as well. That's what it seems to be the case. And so we might be paying a lot more in order to kind of keep the Americans happy, to keep these military bases there, because it's part of America's strategy to contain China, by the looks of it. So. And, you know, one thing we know that Trump is obsessed with is China. So it makes sense they're kind of trying to keep these bases there just because of geography. So I do wonder if it'll come out how much this deal actually cost. But it was the Tories that got the ball rolling on this anyways, because they knew they were going to lose the court rulings eventually. So, you know, for them to say this is surrender, whatever, is like, mate, you guys wanted this to happen to an extent. You can argue about cost, but, you know, they're the experts at wasting money. They gave Dido Harding around like £38 billion. So
yeah, Boris Johnson was on GB News talking about blah, 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 and it's just miles away from Mauritius. Well, it's a lot further away from the UK for a start. But he was talking about getting the GB viewers to get their to get out their maps. And I thought, like GB viewers have got maps. Come on. But
people don't even have ANZs.
He was complaining about it. But do you know, obviously, people talk about James Cleverly, but James Cleverly started the ball rolling and then he blamed Liz Truss. But Liz Truss was actually, I think, the initial one that started the ball rolling under the advisory of Boris Johnson. So, wow. You know, it was him that actually kicked off the whole thing.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he takes no responsibility and starts blaming
Boris Johnson. Shocker.
Shocker. Yeah, exactly. Any thoughts from you, Darren, on this?
See, when it comes to stuff like this, I have a little look in, and I don't go too deeply into it, but when I heard his question about the Chagos, like you said, that an advisory, I was just going, what? Yeah, and he has a brass neck to say that with a straight face, and well, I think he probably knows that his fans won't be watching it anyway because they'll have no interest. So I don't think he really cares what he says. But yeah, I sat there thinking, but I did notice that he said that I'm practically basically saying he's in the ear of Trump, isn't he? So he's just another bored millionaire, just desperate to cause as much trouble as he possibly can to keep his life interesting, I suppose. What a true patriot.
Yeah, I'm seeing Marco Rubio is quite annoyed about it, the deal, and it'd be great if you threw in the clip of Trump doing the impression of Rubio holding the water. It's like, it's Rubio, as him throwing water at people. So yeah, I'm not too worried about little Marco, as Trump called him during the debate. So I'm not too concerned about him kicking up a fuss.
just on that note, it's funny how much Trump insulted so many of those contenders, insulted their families and their wives, and then they go and work for him. They even call on the phone, like
Had cruise.
ringing up people and saying how great the guy is after he slagged off their wife. That's
That was
absolutely
crazy.
mental.
And calling him America's Hitler. You're like, how do you get around that? You just, I meant Hitler in a good way, you know, the
Well, he did some good stuff, like
good Hitler. The
I don't know. But
Autobahns.
when it comes to stuff like that, I did hear a little, can't remember where I heard it, but I think the reason why they do it is because they're so horrendously scared of the MAGA cultists, because they are off the wall,
They
bonkers,
see
mad as box of frogs, aren't they? Pretty
Morning
much.
Joe was a guy who criticized Trump a lot, and you know, him and his co-host were staying at Mar-a-Lago, and you're like, didn't take long, guys.
We're going into the Trump era. We're heading that way. I tried to avoid it. I was trying to go
It's
into
just serious.
Netanyahu and Hamas and the course, but we're heading. Did anyone see Marjorie Taylor Greene's threat about Gates? And so Matt, so just to let everyone know, Matt Gates is a congressman who quit as a congressman because he was. So Matt Gates is a former congressman who quit because he was investigated by the Ethics Committee for alleged SA. So, and they're for minors, so girls under the age of 17, for 17 years of age, and I believe under. He was put in place by Trump, despite that, and the Ethics Committee looking into him for the position of Attorney General, even though he's only served 2 years, I think, as a lawyer. Now he's like the top lawyer in the country. It's just like, what are you doing? Why are you hiring people like this?
It just
He is
seems like top
just,
Trump trolling in it, really.
it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah,
It is.
with Gates, I think the report into him's coming out soon, and the Republicans were trying to stop the report coming out as well because of him potentially becoming AG. So,
Well,
yeah.
it's amazing that you say that, because one of the Republicans who was leading the Ethics Committee, I've got footage of him for about 3 minutes, well, not 3 minutes worth of footage, but at least four or five clips of him talking about how awful Gates is. Trump wins the election, and then he's going, actually, he's all right. Yeah. It's just
That
like,
always happens. That happened in the UK where, like, you know, they're like, oh, Trump's racist, he's a bigot, he hates women. And then they ask like politicians about what they said, they're like, oh, I don't remember saying that.
not
Or that was a
important
long time ago. And you're just
in
like,
the
what?
past.
But we can say that Trump is a rapist because that's been, you know, what's it in the court of law, so that's okay.
Fact. Sexual assault. Yeah. Joy. And he's now the most powerful. All those men and all those women voted him in. Despite all that, they all have daughters or mums, sisters. Doesn't matter. It's absolutely fine. It's absolutely mind-bending that they go that way. Well, anyway, basically, just Gates has just said he's not going to run for attorney general, so he's quit basically. So I assume Trump really fired him, but he's saving a bit of face on it. Before that happened yesterday, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the woman, congresswoman who Emily Maitlis destroyed in that 3 second clip of asking her questions
Yeah,
about
and she asked her
her
to go
theories of
away
Jewish space lasers.
rather nicely.
Rather, yeah, very nicely.
Yeah, I know what you
Very
mean.
nicely. She threatened all the congressmen via X that if they released that ethics committee report and stopped Gates getting in, she would raise hell and make sure that all of them go down with the ship and release other. Yeah, it is really wild. I'm just dumbfounded by this. Again, bypassing the news. And she said she'd even released the Epstein files. I think she even used the word to reference Epstein as an agent, which is like, what on earth? Like, just like pressing the mute button. Why are you protecting Gates at that level, but in public making these threats? And it's just
Yes,
fucking
yeah.
wild.
Well, we're gonna find out if she's all talk, aren't we? Because they block gates, so
Or he resigned. So if
well, I
Trump's
mean,
gone, I
yeah.
don't want him, then Marjorie Taylor Greene goes,
I
fair enough,
don't
then
think
I won't release the reports.
Yeah, I don't think the Epstein thing's coming out. You know, there's just too many people with too much to lose. You know, bearing in mind what happened to him, you know?
Including Trump, by the looks of it.
Yes, exactly. That's kind of who I was talking about. Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. There's so many potential people. Alan Dershowitz, the lawyer. Like, he keeps threatening to sue people that talk about him and Epstein having any connections, even though he got him out of jail and somehow managed to broker a deal with the Florida governor, and I think the Florida attorney general, to be allowed out during the day to work, even though he sexually assaulted a minor. Lots of them.
There was a big Netflix documentary series about that, and I've watched it, and it was wild. I recommend it. I don't know if it's still there. If it is, I'd recommend it. It's pretty good.
On Dershowitz's involvement, or
all of it, but it does cover Dershowitz a bit. But given how litigious he is, I don't think they covered him a ton. But the whole thing, like, you know, the whole scheme, like how they got away with it with the AG, all of that kind of stuff was in there, and it's kind of nuts. Like, it's just a big mess
from top to bottom, isn't it?
Yeah,
it was interesting as well, because I think there were other there was an interview with Trump where they said, "Would you release the JFK files?" Yeah. Do that. And then I think there was another set of files that he offered that he would release. And he went, yep, do that. Then he mentioned there were Martin Luther King files and that he'd release those as well. So there's a set of files that no one was talking about that he's offered to release. And then she asked him about Epstein and he just stuttered.
No. Like, who's that? Who's that? Never heard of him.
Oh.
Jeff who?
Oh. Oh. Alex Burkhart. No, never heard of him.
Epstein. Steen. Who's that? What's that?
Who are you two together? No, never met the guy.
Never met the guy.
This is you on his plane. No,
yeah.
Honestly,
no,
no
never
clue.
Met the guy.
This is you
I'm
on the
wrong plane.
And then, oh, wow. And then you've got the right now. Wing over here suggesting that Lammy shouldn't say these horrible things about Trump.
I think Boris said far worse.
Do you think if Epstein had run for president and won, the Conservative Party would still be defending this?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And say Epstein's a good guy and we should have close ties with him.
Yeah.
Right, then I'll push it further and go, do you think they'd do the same if it was Hitler? Adolf Hitler saying the exact same things, but in English, in America. Do you think they would actually... Because he was saying all this stuff, and the British government at the time and British MPs were lambasting him. I think, ironically, Winston Churchill was one of the few that was coming out and going, in the Commons, have you read this book? It's insane. And everyone was shouting him down. Do you like if we're going to say that Trump can get away with it, and we've gone and agreed Epstein, they'd be saying the same things. Do you think they'd actually be defending it?
I think they'd have a Liz Truss saying we should have a British Hitler over here.
I know I'm pushing the boundary here, but there is a principle set in play. Mussolini was defended in parts of the British government for what he was doing. Hitler was defended for what he was doing. Lloyd George, former prime minister, went over there and told him he was doing a great job. You can't make it up. Neville Chamberlain goes over there and goes, yeah, that's, you know, got this great
deal. I thought you said Boy George went over there and
thinking, do you really want to hurt me?
War is stupid. Yeah,
that's even better. Nice one.
We actually sided with Stalin in the end, didn't we? You know, we got Stalin on board. So,
we didn't have much choice, really, at that point. No. It was,
Although, interestingly, Stalin was back-channeling to get a peace agreement with Hitler during all of that as well.
And then was slagging
off the English at the same time for not doing enough.
It was not going well for the Russians, to be fair. They suffered real bad.
Yeah, 28 million, I think, is most recent count in terms of casualties.
Yeah, their big plan was, we have more people than you, so we're going to win. And that's not really a winning strategy, guys, if you want to, don't want too many losses.
Considering when you work out the stats as well, that the Germans, I think, lost 7 million. So it's almost for every dead Russian, for every dead German, it would take 3 dead Russians. And that's just the Russians. That doesn't include all the other casualties that were involved during World War. Yeah, you can't even fathom it. The Americans and the Brits.
And the Japanese.
And the Japanese. And the Chinese.
Yeah, all of Asia, or most of Asia, that region. But I'll tell you now, Stalingrad was no joke. That's for sure.
That's definitely somewhere I wouldn't want to be at the moment.
No.
And we're we're slightly reliving that with what's going on in Ukraine. Have you guys been following what's going on out there at the moment? Totally tangented away from all topics, by the way.
Well, to be fair, they are attacking parts of Russia as well, so it's not too bad. They've got the Storm Shadow missiles going by the looks of it. They're hitting targets in Russia, which I think Farage is talking about how we need a big parliamentary... No, actually, it's Corbyn saying that, actually. We need Starmer to come in and actually discuss what's going on regarding like the British weapons that we've given, The Americans, I think, have also given permission for like their long range weapons to go in. So, like, I've done a video, I think it came out yesterday, like how we're entering the end game of the war, I think. Zelensky said, like, Trump being voted in does speed up the end of the war as well. So, it'd be interesting to see how it kind of plays out. I think one of the, I want to say it's a German minister who said off the record, well, not off the record, but anonymity, like, if we gave Ukraine these weapons from the start, the war would have been different. I'm like, yeah, that's what Zelensky was trying to tell you, dumbass. So, you know, he's not wrong, but I think we are entering the end phase of the war. I just don't know what it's going to look like when Trump comes in. That's the key thing.
From what I've been hearing, a lot of people saying it's a little bit too little, too late.
Pretty much.
For
There's a
who,
guy,
though? For
for the Ukrainians.
yeah, that's what I've been hearing. Thinking, why do it now? If they've been screaming for this for a while, from what I've been hearing. I'll say, as somebody who looks from the outside looking in, but hearing little bits and bits. James O'Brien talking, is it that Mike Martin or something? Is that an MP? He was something to do with all that. And he said, when Joe Biden said, yeah, do what you what said he's going to do, he said, I can't understand why I just find it flabbergasting. And I just got the feeling he was saying a little bit too little, too late.
There's no consequences for Biden now because Trump's going to have to deal with any pushback. There was a theory that the only reason the West has held back is because they're worried about Russian covert ops. Because apparently, one of the guys who runs a German armaments factory, he might have faced threats to his life, like credible ones. So that's kind of that's the last thing the West were worried about, is something like that happening, because the Russians are quite good at espionage.
Yep.
So that's one of their big concerns, and I think that's what we're going to see more of. But I think with the Ukraine stuff, it is too little, too late. I don't know if Europe are going to be able to keep up with arms supplies either. There's a guy who does really good work on YouTube called William Spaniel, Lines on Maps, and he was talking about how Ukraine has suffered land losses in Russia as well. So the amount that he managed to take initially, that has been cut down as well, and I think we'll progressively see that cut down over the next kind of few months. So I can see if the Russians were smart, they'll just dig into where they are. They'll hold on to whatever land they can take. And when it comes to peace negotiations, they'll probably keep it.
Do you think they
Yeah.
wouldn't be able to do a swap and say, look, you get Kursk back, we return that one bit?
I don't know if Ukraine can hold the land
Yeah.
for that long. I don't know. It depends if Russia can take most of it back or if they even care about it, because it doesn't seem like they really do, because they would have pulled back forces, which is what Ukraine wanted. But it looks like Vlad was like happy to say, cool. You know, you hold on to this bit of land I don't care about, and I'm going to hold on to the areas I actually do want. Because he needs a win as well. He needs something to show for this, because there's a lost generation of Russians out there as well,
Yeah.
who he needs to be able to go back and say, look, I've taken these Russian-speaking areas. So he can't sacrifice a piece of Russia. Wouldn't it make sense?
I guess it depends on sort of how you spin it, because one of the main aims for him going in was to get rid of the Nazis. If he can say that
Yeah.
they write sign an agreement that the Ukrainians will get rid of all Nazi associated memorabilia, that would be the initial victory that he promised. And they
Yeah.
could that would be a way of doing it. But also the land. I mean, how can you take a fifth of a country? How can like this is that would be almost as bad. I'm sorry, but it would be as bad as the stuff we did with appeasement.
Appeasement before World War II was a policy adopted primarily by Britain and France, aimed at avoiding conflict by making concessions to aggressive powers like Nazi Germany. It reached its peak with the 1938 Munich Agreement, where territories in Czechoslovakia were ceded to Hitler in the hope of satisfying his ambitions.
That the settlement of the Czechoslovakian problem, which has now been achieved, is, in my view, only the prelude to a larger settlement in which all Europe may find peace.
Yeah, that's the point then, because you can see, like, there was a guy, was it Hennig, was talking about what are the AfD and the other surrender parties doing in Germany as well, because that's another key problem, because there's German elections coming up. Olaf Scholz is trying to apparently show himself as the kind of peace chancellor, and it's like, my man, you've been useless for the last like few years. If anything, it will cement you as the biggest clown in Europe at the moment. So I don't know what's going on in Germany regarding their elections. It doesn't look good in terms of outcome. So I'm quite concerned with that, and with Trump coming in. I think, like I said, you know, I've done a video on it. I think the Ukraine war is in its end game. I think it'll probably be next year, this time next year. I can imagine it'd be over, or for the most part, it'd be over. It's not great for them.
I think he'll look at that as a victory and just go, give it five more years and I'll take another chunk. Matt, any thoughts from
well,
you?
You just stole me thunder there. I was going to ask that, shall I?
Go on, Darren.
No, you just stole me thunder. You just said, I was just going to ask, do you think he'd have another go? But so you just stole me thunder there.
Sorry, Darren. Why do you
no,
think
no,
he'd
it's
go,
all right.
Why do you think he'd go for it again? What's your thinking in that?
Because I just think that he's also word. What's the word I were after? He's a certain type of something to do with the Russian Empire. There's a word that they use for it. I can't quite remember.
Imperial.
Imperial. That's it. He's quite imperialistic, isn't he? So that was my thinking. He'll probably have another go, won't he?
He's
won't
an
surprise me
survivor.
If he does it after Biden goes. Not Biden. Yeah. After Trump goes.
He's an extraordinary survivor, isn't he? No matter what else you think about him, the amount of times I've heard about, oh, he's on his way out, oh, the generals are massing against him, oh, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and then, boom, he wins another election. He doesn't win an election. He's won the election before he's even called, you know, but it's he's still there, isn't he? You know, no matter what else, he's still there.
Do you think it might have weakened him enough that someone might take a pop at him?
I think Madge is right. I think if he doesn't come out, well, and you're right as well, that if he doesn't come out of this conflict showing that he's made advances and obviously gotten Ukraine not to join NATO as well, I think he'll be less bothered about the EU, in all honesty, and taken certain parts of Ukraine as well. If he doesn't do all of that, I think they'll wrap it up, as it were, wrap him up in something heavy.
I think there's something to be looked at with, I look at the Iron Chancellor, also von Bismarck, and what he did. And one of the key components for the reason why he was considered such a good politician on the international stage was because when he never looked to take territory, he always tried to avoid that because he could see long-term that would cause repercussions. So, I mean, he did take the Danish territory up in the north. When he took on Austria-Hungary in the south, he threatened the Kaiser with quitting if he went and took any of the Austrian land. And part of that, I believe, was down to the fact that he could see if he take that land 10, 20 years down the line, if you need the Austrian-Hungarians on side, they're going to tell you to get stuffed because you've taken their land. And it's interesting as well, because part of the cause for World War One was when the Germans then went into France, they took Alsace-Lorraine. So that was 1870. For 40 years, the French were educating their kids to get that land back. And that's part of the cause for World War One. There's obviously other things. And it's not, you can argue and debate whether or not that was a major cause or a minor cause. And I just look at that amount of land that they're going to take, which is about a fifth. I'm going to go, it's going to be impossible for them not to talk about that for generations. And so long term, and I don't think any of these guys ever think long term. I don't believe Boris Johnson does. I know for a fact Trump doesn't. I mean, his peace negotiations completely collapsed. Like, everything's escalated. Everything. Like, he said he'd get this done in 24 hours. He's got no chance, from what I can tell. I mean, he's got to go in and he can get Zelensky to the table. I can't see how he could leverage Putin to the table. What the hell's he got? He's put sanctions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see what else he could do to try and twist Putin's arm to the table. I could think of maybe one thing. I could see, like, I'll put nuclear weapons in Ukraine and you'll never take the line back. What do you do then? I don't know.
Mm. Do you think
predictability, isn't it, of both men? Let's be honest.
yeah, exactly.
Kemi Badenoch, backbench. We wanted to talk about that a little bit today. I've got a few questions to throw at you guys, especially because as we were already talking about Trump and his cabinet picks and Matt Gaetz quitting, you guys up for a game of true or Trump?
Go on then.
So essentially, you just got to figure out whether or not Trump said this. That's the point, okay?
Just say yes to everything.
It's possible, that's the bit. I trust my gut more than I trust facts.
Well, given that he fills it with Happy Meals, he probably does trust his gut. So I'd probably go with true.
You go for true. Yeah, Trump, rather.
It's true. Congratulations. Number two. I'm only doing threes. We should explore a tax on TikTok influencers to fund the military.
That's an interesting one. Given that probably most of his influencers are on TikTok, would they go for that? I don't know.
Not a lot of money in TikTok.
In the
not like YouTube. There.
Ah, do you know what? I'll just say yeah, just for the hell of it.
Matt.
Yeah, I'll go with false. I don't know. But I'll go with false. I don't know.
You're correct, Matt. It is false. It's trumped. Last one. I have the best words, but when it comes to diplomacy, I prefer silence. It's powerful.
Did Trump say that? You mean did Trump say that?
You've got to figure that out.
No, that's far too intelligent for him. I'll go, no.
You think
unless
no. You
unless
think
it were written down
you think
for him.
Trumped?
I'm going to be a bit cheeky now because I know that he did, at least even if he didn't say it, he said something like it. I think I remember it he said something like, I've got the best words or something like that.
I have the best words.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Man, cat, dog, woman. Yes. So I'm going to say true.
It's trumped, it's false. He never said that. But he has said stuff.
Oh, okay.
Pretty damn similar, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. As I said, it's more about Kenny Badenoch, but as we were talking about Trump anyway. Right. Badenoch or baloney? Question one. Proposed sending asylum seekers to a cruise ship docked in the channel as a temporary accommodation. Did she suggest that? Not those words, but did she suggest that? Did she say she'd stick a cruise ship for asylum seekers in the channel as a temporary accommodation?
I was thinking that was pretty Patel.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing, you know, while she was all them years ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, for Kemi, I'm going to say no. I don't think she did.
What do you think, Darren?
I'm going to say the same. My first thought was something pretty Patel would say.
Well, you're both wrong. She did say that suggestion. She did make that suggestion as a policy. I know.
Yeah, that's it. Our political future's done, dusted now.
Welcome back, Madge.
Yeah, that was no deal. Oh, no.
Question two. Kemi suggested creating a freedom festival to celebrate the living... to celebrate leaving the European Union annually, funded by taxpayers. Is that the type of thing that Kemi would say?
True.
You think it's true, so you think it's a Badenoch? It's Badenoch or baloney?
Not mad, Nad.
I'll tell you, yeah, I think she said it.
I think she said it.
I'll be cheeky and say no.
Didn't say it, Matt?
But you get to the point where you can't say with any certainty, can you? Let's be honest. It's annually done. We get an annual passport.
Annual festival about leaving the EU to celebrate leaving.
Okay, but it's something that you can use going through the airports and stuff. Is that the idea?
What
am I overthinking this? Sorry, a passport.
No, passport. I'll say it again. She suggested creating a freedom festival to celebrate leaving the European Union annually, funded by taxpayers.
Festival. Sorry, I thought you meant passport. In which case, I'm going to say Badenoch now.
It's baloney. She never suggested that. But isn't it funny that you all thought that?
There was a Brexit festival. Was it not her that wanted it?
That was May.
I was under the impression that was something Mad Nad wanted.
it's probably truth in all of it, isn't there?
Well, she was a culture and secretary around that time, wasn't she? So, you know.
She had that great TikTok, to be fair, where they're talking about how the Tories are going to protect people on the internet. And it's so funny. I love that video so much. I miss it. That was fun times.
You play tennis on a pitch.
Well, yes, yeah. That's the one. Yeah, yeah. And was it great. Was it download or what was she saying?
Upload,
that's it.
What? It was great.
It was great. Question three. Badenoch or baloney argued for abolishing the Department of Energy Security and net zero to cut government spending.
I'd go Badenoch.
Yeah. I'd stick money on that.
I agree. I'll go with that as well.
You're all correct. True.
Let's go.
It's just on her emphasis of reducing government spending. So, cabinet picks from Badenoch.
Why not?
What have you thought of her choices so far?
Let's just go on.
Go on, Darren.
Go on, Matt.
I'm just going to say, thanks, Darren, that as I run a comedy YouTube channel, this is gold dust. I mean, I talk about the Conservative leadership election. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. A complete cock up from the start to end. You know what I mean? To the point where they end up with Jenrik getting to the final two, which is just mind blowing. Anyway, so with that regard, I'm very much looking forward to Marc Francois being the new Defence Secretary. Yes. It's going to be hilarious.
Is that real? Is that that's a thing? That's happening.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Peter he's Griffin in charge.
Yes, yes. He's gonna have he's gonna come in with his own box to stand on.
You know he was in the SAS.
Yes. Absolutely. He was born not to lose, wasn't he?
Who dares
win? The SAS is what the regulars used to call the territorial, because he was a member of the territorial army. That's and then they used to call them the SAS, which is the Saturdays and Sundays.
I've seen a pictures of him suited and booted. He looks hilarious.
Yeah, proper weekend warrior.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, man.
We also got Chris Phipp as well, haven't we?
Yes.
He's not.
Is he Shadow Home Secretary?
No, isn't that? Oh, no. Patel's Foreign Secretary again, isn't she?
Policing, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it's police.
Let's see. Which titans of industry have Mel Stride? This list is an abomination.
I do love the fact that there's just so much crazy crap. No, he's Home Secretary.
I thought he was.
He was police.
He's gone twice.
What do you make of him being Home Secretary? I mean, it goes on. I mean, compared to Trump, it's actually quite reasonable.
Yeah. In the mad world wild of politics, the nearest to being the grown-ups in the room.
In her defence, yeah, she's only got the Tory MP she can pick from. Trump had the whole of America, and he's like, give me Matt Gaetz. Get me Marco Rubio on the phone.
Yes.
Get me Elon. Like, that's, you know, all,
to be fair,
everyone in America.
Oh, no, she wouldn't be able to do it now, would she? To be fair, there was that little loophole where you make someone a lord.
Yeah.
And then you can get them into the cabinet.
Bring David Cameron back. Get David Cameron back in. Get David Cameron back in.
In the shadow cabinet, could you imagine?
Get Rishi a peerage. Get him in, Lord Rishi, when he inevitably leaves.
I mean, he was the former policing minister, wasn't he, Chris Phipp?
Yeah.
So
he always has the look of a man.
Go on.
As soon as you start questioning him, he always has the look of a man. Sits there thinking, oh, shit. You know, he just looks guilty. He's not able to hide it. It's brilliant, you know. I'd love to play poker with the guy.
Yeah. Well, all I can say is, if I've watched him a couple of times in Home Affairs Select Committee meetings where he's had his arse handed to him by Dame Dinah Johnson, you know, the most mildest woman you've ever seen in politics. So I think Yvette Cooper will have an easy ride with him, won't she?
I'll tell you this, yeah. Looking at this list, yeah, you've got Mel Stride, who I think wanted to get rid of maternity pay. You've got Priti Patel, who got fired for having illegal meetings with a foreign government. You've got, I'm trying to remember what Chris Phillip was in the news for. Laura Trott, who couldn't do percentages, is in charge of education. Yeah, that Alex Bugart guy who was just on PMQs and he got laughed at. Claire Coutinho, who said there will be a meat tax. And when asked which part of Labour had brought in a meat tax, she couldn't actually answer it. So that was fun. I'm trying to remember the rest of the group here.
Robert Jenrick's the Home
there's
Justice
no,
Secretary. Isn't he
there's
Justice
no Francis.
Secretary?
There's no Francis Secretary. Who's that? Jenrick?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
right, yeah.
He's a top lawyer, isn't he? Yeah.
He wanted to leave the EHR. They haven't got a full list up by the looks of it. That's a bit shocking from a government website. They haven't actually got everyone. And of course, you've got Kemi Badenoch. She's an absolute clown leading this platoon of morons. So, that should be fun.
The best one line I heard about that described Priti Patel was, she looks like someone that's chewing on a wasp and enjoying it.
Oh, no, there is Jenrick. Jenrick is on the list. Yeah, I can see him there. I just missed him because he has no aura. The guy who wants to leave the ECHR. Yeah, that's great.
You see her at PMQs. She's got that smirk. It's like she's got a queen bee in her gobbin. She's enjoying it.
How do you think Kemi's been performing in PMQs then?
It's not great from what I've seen. She's really bad at like anything media based. Apparently she doesn't like journalists. And like it's probably because they ask you awkward questions, she don't know how to answer.
Yeah.
So she's not great. Like in any interview, like I saw Sophie Ridge asked her, do you want to be Prime Minister? She's like, oh, I can't really answer that because, you know, being a Prime Minister is a privilege and it changes your life. And I'm like, you're the leader of the Conservative Party. Their whole thing is to win. That's like being Manchester United manager being asked, "Oh, do you want to win the Premier League?" It's like, nah, I think trophies. You know, I don't really care for trophies that much. You know,
yeah,
and you're
yeah.
just like, mate, what are you doing? Like, you're literally in. You're leading the party that has governed over this country, probably, you know, the most out of any political party of the last few hundred years. Like, their whole purpose is to win and to, you know, be on the side of big business and landowners. Like, if you don't want to be prime minister, you should have let James Cleverly or Jenrick have a shot then. Honestly, just complete,
you know,
stupidity.
That reminds me of when Boris Johnson kept being asked if he'd be prime minister. And he kept saying no, but he was never quite in that position. He was either an MP or he was mayor of London. And you sort of go, okay, that's an interesting tactic that you're employing there, where you're like, reject, reject, reject. I'm not all about the power, about serving the people. And she's literally, no, that is your whole role. It's like she took Boris Johnson's idea and tactic and didn't understand why he was doing it.
With Johnson, you don't want to undermine the leader, so that makes sense. With Kevin Bannon, she's like, yeah, I don't want to undermine the leader. The point was like, that's you.
You.
Like, you are literally there to win. That is you. Yeah. You're undermining yourself.
Yeah, I had to laugh last week because, like, within 3 minutes, she misspoke. It looks like when she started on, you know, taking the rise about, you know, it shouldn't be taken seriously going to a cop and saying that with what you've decided, you've made life in the UK more experience. What? This is a woman who never makes any gaffes, apparently. And then when he told her that they've funded £600 billion, whatever, she says, she goes on about saying, now you've said that you've given funding of £600. You think
they should have, as much as I dislike that guy, they should have gone for Tom Tugendhat. Like, I'm astonished they didn't, because he's got a clearer pair of hands than, you know, the three people who were in cabinet who oversaw a lot of the nonsense. Like, it's just madness they went for her. Did you see also she was accusing Starmer of mansplaining? And then she also talks about how she hates identity politics. And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, genuinely, like, I'm baffled. Like, you make no sense.
You think,
like,
it's just...
That point where she turns around and says, you shouldn't read out questions and, you know, you shouldn't have pre-prepared answers or whatever. And she's there with a piece of paper in front of her asking questions, you know? It's just like...
Like, they picked the worst person. Like, genuinely, I thought Starmer's bad at PMQs. I'm like, this is a whole nother bar. The bar is being set even lower than that.
She makes him look like a world-class orator, doesn't she?
I've got to give it to Starmer. It was quite funny how he ripped into Farage.
Yeah. That was pretty good, actually.
That was actually pretty good. I was like, oh, okay. Like him told. I mean, it was a bit weird that Nigel was laughing along and got the humour about it as well. I didn't know quite what to make of that. I was like, does he have
no response,
or is he just weird?
You got no response, and you might as well just laugh. So.
Exactly. But as I say, what gets me, especially the last one when I watched her, she had that look on her face as if to say, I'm nailing it. I'm absolutely nailing. I've got him on the ropes here.
Alex, if you can, find the interview where she talks about maternity pay and she goes, people were having more kids when there was no maternity pay. And she thought she gave a really good answer. And I'm like, I just don't understand how such a person is so dumb. When she said, when she worked at McDonald's, she was working class. And you're just like, what kind of education? Like, if she went to private school, they'd need a refund, or, you know, the education system needs a refund from her. Because Jesus Christ, man, like, I've never seen someone worse at answering questions or asking questions.
Yeah.
And it's like, what did you do? Like, I swear you had a good education. What happened?
The strange thing is, all the right wing press are lapping it up. They really are. They look at the stuff like the Express and the Mail. They sit there and go, oh, Badenoch slaughters Starmer with another three-word answer. And
he's
just
having fun.
Yeah. She just destroys him, you know, grow up.
They're desperate for clicks, to be fair. That's all they have. I mean, like, if she's, you know, like, I'm surprised they haven't moved on to Farage, to be honest with you, because Kemi Badenoch, I reckon she's going to lose the next election and the Tories are going to have a big bloodbath.
Do you think she'll actually get there?
You never know.
I was just going to say, the best analogy I've heard about the PMQs is that, like, Keir Starmer is, they're in a boxing ring. Keir Starmer's got his boxing gloves on her forehead as pushing her away, and she's windmilling like a lunatic trying to land a punch on him.
I've just, I don't know. I've seen kids have more intelligent debates than that, to be honest with you. And it's over a PS4 controller, and they're arguing whose turn it is. Because honestly, when I watch it, I'm just astonished. Like, how did you make it as an adult? Like, I need to know what led you here. How did you make it this far in life?
Do you think there's always been this chatter in the background that UKIP supporters infiltrated into the Conservative Party?
Yeah, 100%.
Do you think they've done it again, and they've literally elected a dimwit?
I think,
or
they
is
had...
it just that there's such a limited choice? Because, like, not being like Trump is not intelligent in so many ways. He's quite comical. We've all agreed on that at certain points. He's probably made us laugh or done something stupid. He knows how to sell. That being shot and then getting up and punching into the air, that's just unreal. Most people would just be carted off into a car and gone. They wouldn't be, like, defiantly doing that. But the rest of it is just the stuff he says, the cats and the dogs that we were quoting earlier. What's going on with politics where we're electing demons?
Yeah, that shooting, you know, that bullet that clipped his ear apparently was within 6 inches of his brain. Sorry, that's a bad
joke. Wouldn't
have
made
a
difference then at that point.
Bad joke.
Oh, I see. All I'm saying is, with I don't think we get many options when it comes to voting, to be fair. Like, when you look at the UK, I think we had Starmer, just not great. You had Rishi Sunak, really bad. You had, who's in charge of the Dems? Ed Davey? Honestly, it's Ed Davey.
Dems.
Yeah, Ed Davey, who's okay. Yeah, he's fine. You had the Green Party, you had the weird co-leader thing. Those two were fine, but you couldn't really vote for them for most of the country because the Greens were based in the South. Obviously, you had the SNP, who only really run in Scotland, so you don't really have many options. In America, they have two options. One is the person who ran with celebrities and stuff like that, and the complete circus, the Mango Menace.
I think that's a bit mean in America because they've got the primaries, so you do get a huge, well, not you, huge, but you get a selection at least. So within your party, you get maybe 13, 12, whittle it down to one. I mean, these primaries were ridiculous because Trump never came on stage won. But generally, you get 13 to 12, and then it's whittled down to one. And then it's, so you sort of have two selection processes.
You're
part of those parties, I'll add that. Because, like,
you do, but if you look at the American one, right, if you look at the one Trump won originally, you had Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, right? And you've got to pick based on the ones he's most likely to win, right? So if I said to you, like, your three realistic options are Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, or a relatively, like, politically unknown Donald Trump, right? That's great. That's a great selection. Love it. In the Dems, at least they had Bernie, but he got shafted in the first one. And in the second one, Biden kind of outflanked him, right? So you have Bernie or Biden really as your two options because everyone else kind of, they whittle down. So you don't really get a ton of options. And in the UK, you have only the parties really decide. So if we looked at our options when Starmer ran, I think it was him and Rebecca Long Bailey. And I'm trying to remember who else ran. I think it might have been...
It was all female than him, wasn't it? Because, you know,
yes,
it was. People were sitting there going, oh, they might elect a female leader. It's like
Emily Thornberry, I think. I'd have to look at it. You don't get a ton of really good options because they're all politicians who have been there for a while. Starmer being the exception to that because he was only there from 2015. So I don't think you get a ton of selection. So, like, I don't blame... The fact that Americans voted Trump, okay, I blame them for that. That was dumb. That's really dumb. But when you look at the UK, like, we don't really get a ton of selection. I think it's going to change now. I think people's party law is kind of dying off.
Yeah.
It's more of a, what have you done for me lately, rather than this time my dad voted and his dad. It's kind of changed. So I think it will change a lot in the UK, but it'll be a slow burn, especially with the stupid system we have. If we had PR, like, it would change very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we've got our dumb system. And, it's just about, like, how much media attention parties get. I think that's the key for people in the UK.
There is talk of reform in the Lords, but we'll wait and see what happens.
I've heard that one before.
I said we'll wait and see. I agree. Just because.
How long are you going to wait? 5 years? We're going to wait. We're going to wait next election.
They're getting rid of the hereditary peers, or they've gotten rid of the hereditary peers. That's about 70 odd, isn't it? That's not going to happen anymore.
They've got. That's part of it, isn't it? But then there's meant to be a bit more talk of some
ton
sort
more.
Of martial system. But
I mean, yeah,
or list system that you can vote for, so you put your name for and you can get voted in as a Lord.
When it comes to these hereditary peers, they must be quite old as is. So by the time they go, maybe we'll make a change. I don't know. Maybe that's what we're waiting for at this point. But I don't know.
Speaking of no change, just because I'm aware of the time, did you guys see the petition? It was a petition, just to catch up viewers, there was a petition put out to rejoin the EU. I think it's at the time of this episode, about 50,000 votes. What are your thoughts on Labour's rejection of of rejoining the EU in their written response, because I think at 10,000 they're meant to put a written response. Did you guys have a look at that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I just is it? Might as well just bring it up and quote the response. Just bear with me 1 second.
Do you have any thoughts, Darren? As we bring
I
up the
haven't.
Quote?
I haven't seen it yet. I haven't. I will say this afternoon. I've been floating around looking for material, and but I haven't. But I will read it later.
I'm happy to read it out because I thought.
No, fair enough.
I've got it in front of me. You got it, Madge? Do you want to read it?
Yeah, here it is. The government was elected on a manifesto that made clear there will be no return to EU membership. However, we are determined to reset the UK-EU relationship, putting it to a more solid footing. Read the response in full. There's a lot here, but it's basically...
Can we just jump on that one point? We'll just jump on each paragraph. So they said because it's in the manifesto, but wasn't there also in the manifesto no increase to tax?
Insurance for working people, etc. Let's not go down that route again. God, have we got enough time? Yeah, no, not really. And they changed a whole load of things, and they did so under the basis of, oh, we found this black hole. We found this £22 billion black hole. Well, if you found the black hole and there's certain things that you can do to change that, we know one of them for a start. We're not even talking about, oh, yeah, rejoin next week or something. But for goodness sake, float the idea. You know, if you're just sitting there blanking it all the time, it just seems rather bizarre.
Agree with that, Darren.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I can just imagine if they'd floated the idea, Nigel Farage would have the fit of the vapes, wouldn't he? Be going absolutely mental with his reform party. So, yeah, to be honest, it just didn't surprise me, really. He still seems to think he's got to go on the ice rink with that mink vase and not to drop it. And you think, Be a little bit daring.
It's a bit wild that the farmers are backing him when he's caused them so much damage. It's almost insane. Like, they've lost their subsidies. Yeah. They've lost exports. They've lost imports. They can't import seeds. Like, their choices have gone down. Yeah. And the company's not helping them. And then they've increased taxes
Farage
and the farmers, yeah.
We're jumping in, right? Okay, you know the farmers aren't backing him. You know he wasn't allowed to speak at Westminster. I know there was some there, and they were all clapping him on the back and things like that. But there's also this picture of this bloke. I'm assuming he's a farmer. He's at the protest anyway, and he is just giving daggers at Nigel Farage like this. So this idea, and it's going to get covered in my video, everybody, a bit of a sort of shout out there, in the interesting times come Sunday, that all the farmers back Brexit, or indeed the majority of farmers back Brexit, it's, as far as I can tell, simply not the case. But watch the video to have a look.
Link in the description. Madge, do you want to do the next bit?
Yeah, I think it's a bit... Farage has managed to co-opt that movement, so it makes sense. And I don't think the farmers have got enough sense to understand it. They also do see themselves as, like, custodians of the land. So they see this inheritance tax as a big problem of, like, being able to pay it off. I think with Labour and the EU, that's not surprising, like, at all, to be honest with you. They were very clear on it. And, you know, like, they don't want to even get the visa agreement, you know, for, like, youth mobility. So this idea, you know, this is the party they ran on cutting net migration and things like that. And they also ran on getting the highest growth in the G7. It's like, okay, how are you going to do that, really? But they didn't, you know, mention how. So with the EU thing, I'm not that surprised. They run scared of red wall voters. I'm sure you got Lisa Nandy in his ear saying, like, oh, I'll lose my seat if you do this. Me. Because, you know,
they should,
like,
do the me as well.
Me, definitely. Yeah. All the annoying politicians do it. Ted Cruz does it as well. I'm Ted Cruz, me. But what I'm saying to you guys is, like, it doesn't surprise me, you know, like, well, when I've seen some of the interviews, like, post-Brexit of some of the Labour politicians that are there, I'm like, yeah, nah, we've got no chance. So if they're not going to accept the youth mobility thing, I mean, the TCA is under review, I'm going to say it's next year or the year after, 25 or 26, I think, it's up for review. I think the EU have been clear, we need to implement it in full. So I don't see much moving. You had Rachel Reeves actually talking about financial deregulation as well recently. I need to get around to covering that. So any idea we can get a services agreement with the EU, completely in the bin. It was very unlikely anyways, but that's completely shot. In terms of getting something on goods, it's possible, but unless we go for dynamic alignment, we're not going to get equivalency. They've been very clear on that. So I genuinely don't know what Labour's going to go for, because they've kind of boxed themselves in on this, like they have with many other issues, like we mentioned earlier with tax, and amongst other things. Like, it's just silly.
There is a glimmer of hope in the fact that I think there are now more Labour MPs, I think Richard Corbett brought it up, didn't he, in one of our last shows, where he said there are more Labour MPs that are in the pro-EU group than there are Conservative MPs. I said a glimmer of hope.
Yeah, I'm
trying to be very precise with my words.
I'm sure there are more Labour MPs that want to get rid of the two-child cap, for example, than there are Tory MPs. You know, like, it doesn't mean they're going to do something. Like, you know, if they grow a spine and said, actually, we're not standing for that, they'll be like, cool, you know, you guys have got numbers, you're going to do something. Kind of like what the ERG did and, like, the other kind of groups within the Conservative Party, and they said, we're going to block vote and we're going to say no to this. I mean, like, even with an 80-seat majority, like, Sunak lost the vote over the tainted blood scandal. So it's possible they can have rebels and things like that, or enough where the government gets scared and think, we don't want to lose a vote on this. So until we get to that point where they're actually going to actively do something, I don't care what, you know, however many there are. It's just more people who are going to vote through, like, mid or bad policies.
Shall we go to the next paragraph? So since taking office, this government has been working to reset the relationship with our European friends. As part of this, the government aims to strengthen ties, secure a broad-based security pact, and tackle barriers to trade with the EU. I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, I can see it all on your faces. You're just like, it's just meaningless drivel. Like, nothing's going to happen there.
The EU themselves have turned around and said there's something along these lines, haven't they? They've said, we keep hearing, we want to reset the trade, we want to do this, we want to do that, but these are meaningless words. What do you want, UK? Yeah. You know what I mean? Tell us what you actually want. Put it in sort of writing, as it were. Otherwise, it's just phrases, isn't it? Build back better, all that sort of crap.
Would they have us back anywhere?
Yes, I'm getting that impression. I've travelled quite a bit now in Europe, vox popping, and I'm shocked at the comments I'm getting. We miss you. It's like losing a cousin. We want you back. We'd love to have you back. I mean, that's pretty emotive language. Being called a cousin or...
The sarcastic cousin. I lost the sarcastic cousin.
Obviously talking about me then.
And again, I've just been in Gibraltar and I went across the border into Spain and I interviewed people there and said, what do you think about the UK coming back? Everyone's been like, come back. There was one guy who was pro-Spanish Brexit, sexit. I was like, I had to explain to him like all the stuff that's happened recently. He should have seen his face. His jaw has dropped as a result of me going, yeah, we're 40 billion in debt every year because we don't have enough tax funds. I was like, had he even heard of that?
Well, that's been interesting. Before we had the referendum, there was something like, I think I heard or saw a report to say there was something like 11 possible referendums happening around the other European countries. Once we Brexited, and obviously one of the first things that happened was the pound diving, things like that, every other kind of thing drops because Brexit has done one thing, it has proved to the Europeans how important, you know, being part of the European community
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
I think Le Pen,
after it, Farage were talking about there's going to be an exodus of everybody leaving. Well, still waiting.
The only close thing they got was potentially the EFTA countries could have left. Or some of them were looking at the UK thinking, okay, maybe we could do a new trade bloc. And that shut down real quick after a couple of months. But that was the only time where it was possible we could have done something. Even Le Pen was like, leave the EU. It needs to reform, guys. It needs reform. But leave. What an idiot. Only a clown would do that. It's like, who did that? The Brits? Of course.
There will be issues. I'm skipping a little bit. There will be issues which are difficult to resolve, as well as areas on which we will stand firm. We've been clear we are not going back to the arguments of the past. We're not rejoining the single market or customs union, and we will not return to the freedom of movement. But we are committed to finding constructive ways to work together and deliver to the British people. This means we respect international law, shared institutions. We are committed to implementing the Windsor framework in good faith and protecting the UK internal market. And we are committed to staying in the ECHR. Same drivel, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just classic political baloney, isn't it?
It's what they rule out instead of what they're attempting to do. So.
That's it.
That's what Labour have done. Yeah, just rule out stuff. It's like, okay, what you actually do is like, not that.
Yeah. What do you want? Not that. Okay, but what do you want? Not that.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
We've been clear that the trading relationship can be improved. We have already said that but you've just pointed out that Rachel Reeves is literally going, no, we don't want the service. We're going to deregulate. That's not... That's literally the opposite of what they're saying here. We've already said that we will seek to negotiate a veterinary agreement, but it doesn't change anything. You will still need the checks.
It does lower the checks at the border, which will have like it will lower the amount of friction and stuff, but it's not going to do a ton of stuff. And I don't know if that deal is still on the table anyways. Like I said, they want dynamic alignment. The EU wants us to go for dynamic alignment. The UK saying, you know, the Labour Party said originally they wanted equivalency, and you know that's the same thing Frost tried to get initially, and he got laughed out of the room. Like they were like, no, we're not doing that. And there's good reasons why the EU wouldn't want to do that as well. Just because the way equivalency works. So again, like it's just there's, you know, they're ruling stuff out and not ruling stuff in. So we don't know what they actually want.
We are working with higher education sector to ensure our world-leading universities continue to attract the brightest and best and support our economy. It's a joke.
Brightest and best. Where have we
It's a
heard that
joke.
from? It's president say well beaten.
This is about turning the page, reinvigorating alliances, and forging new partnerships with our European friends, rather than reopening divisions of the past. We will work to improve the UK's trade and investment relationship with the EU, tearing down unnecessary barriers to trade, and we will strengthen cooperation to keep our people safe. I mean,
It's meaningless. What I would say about this Labour government is obviously they've got a huge majority. I saw a thing in like in their first 100 days, they've lost something like 11 MPs, either kicked out or kind of, you know, left or whatever. But I did a calculation where if they were to do that for the rest of the parliament, they would still have a majority at the end of it. That's how big their majority is. It's
wow.
extraordinary. But it's thin. It's thin, isn't it? You saw how many people went out and voted for them and stuff. That could easily get flipped. So if Brexit is a conversation point come the next election, I appreciate that's a long way away, then, you know, it might start to make people a bit more nervous, a bit more focused, shall we say.
It would be interesting to see what happens with the Trump deal as well, because that would be a huge divergence. And the problem that we have with that is Gibraltar, Anguilla, and Northern Ireland. Because when you start
Yes.
that divergence, then those areas are going to need more checks. And there's no escaping that. So, and again, you sort of, you know, imagine you're fair enough, you're right. It will reduce it. I think Liz was telling me about it. And I think David Hennig had brought it up. It's really minor stuff. Like you've still got food being trapped at the border for up to 3 days. Have all of you noticed that food doesn't last as long?
Yeah, I've noticed, yeah. Yeah, my
Like,
French Golden Delicious don't last as long as they used to.
Brexiteers.
Yeah, damn you, Brextremists.
But to be fair, you know, them talking about this is about turning the page, reinvigorating alliances, and forging new partnerships. That says a lot. You know, that means something to me. Reinvigorating alliances, you know, like when he went to Germany and he gave a speech, and then he went to Italy and gave a speech, and I think he went to France and gave a speech. Yeah, those were great. You know, the pictures he took with Maloney aren't as good as the one Sunak got with Maloney, though, because those were some really funny pictures. They look like a couple. I was just like, what is going on here? Like, what are you doing in Italy, man? What is going on? Like, you're married, bruv. You're married.
Obviously, he likes it, you know.
Big fash, Italian fascism.
Yeah.
She cooks a
I
mean
held back
bucatini.
there. I held back. Right. On that note, thank you guys. Check their stuff out in the description. They've got links in there. This has been a great show. Once again, hit that like and subscribe button if you enjoyed it, especially if you got to the end. Thanks, my co-host. Bye for now.
Tune in next week for another exciting story from the files of Police Squad.